Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Welcome back to episode 2 of our new 4-week message series leading up to Christmas called The King Has Come. As we celebrate this season of Advent together and experience the joy that comes with knowing our King in a personal way. How incredible is that? Now, we had a great start last week to our Christmas experience as we celebrated 20 baptisms in one day. Oh, man, it was a powerful day. It was such a great time. Tonight is our big time kids' Christmas light show service here at the church at 7 p.m. right here in the auditorium. So mom and dad, pack up the minivan, bring some friends, and come early to get a good seat. It's going to be a fantastic night tonight. You know, we've been so blessed to see so many of you return to worship in person. About two-thirds, just in case you're interested, about two-thirds of our people have now returned and are attending on a weekly basis here on Sunday mornings. And another third of our people are still watching like you are from home. And we are so grateful for those of you that are still committed to gathering. We want you to know we love you, we miss you, we're praying for you, and we look forward to the day when you can join us again when you're ready to do that. But moving forward, we want to be able to offer both an in-person experience and an online experience so that you can do whatever you need to do. And especially for those of you that are joining us from all around the world, we welcome you today as well. You know, our December is shaping up to be very exciting, full of great festive events that are happening, great services that we're having. And so we have invitations that are available for those that came today. They're all over the seats. They're in the foyer. And if you want to stop by during the week, you can pick some of these up at the church office. And so coming up on the 12th, in both of our services as our Christmas grand celebration service, you're not going to want to miss this. We have so many great musical performances that you're going to be blessed by. And then, of course, on Christmas Eve, on the 24th, legendary candlelight family service that all of us look forward to each and every year. And so we look forward to seeing you there. This year, the capacity is going to be limited, so make sure you come early to get a good seat. We will have overflow in our gym area so that you can watch the broadcast and experience a live candlelighting with our team. So we'll be able to accommodate everybody throughout that time. And we just want to thank you. Thank you for your generosity over this season. Many of you have supported our Christmas Spirit program as we're helping our missionaries to celebrate Christmas with kids all around the world who wouldn't be able to do that without your support. And so with your support, at $25 each for the kids that we're sponsoring, we've been able to raise over $2,600. Yeah, so thank you so much for that. That's an incredible thing. And then for those of you that have been helping with our flood relief plan as we partner with the City Dream Center, we've been able to raise over $8,000 in a very short period of time. And so again, thank you so much for your generosity as we respond and serve and help our neighbors who have been so affected by this weather and the floods that have taken place. Please continue to pray for them through this time as they begin to rebuild, and we continue to help. Now, our new series is grounded on a powerful prophecy of a coming Messiah and the fulfillment of a promised hope, something that these days many people are in desperate need of, that hope. And the prophet Isaiah describes this Messiah using titles that could only be rightfully attributed to God or to a king. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, So Powerful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Now, last week, we talked about the first two titles, Wonderful and Counselor. And today, as we kind of align this message with where we are in our Advent, we're going to be talking kind of near the end of this prophecy and looking at Jesus' title as Prince of Peace. Now, I think you'd all agree that peace is something that is desperately lacking in the world right now. People are scrambling to figure that out. And it's not because of supply chain issues. There's plenty of peace to go around as long as you know the source, as long as you're connected to that source. And even though God's people waited for hundreds of years for a hope that was promised, this Messiah who would someday come, today people struggle with waiting in line at the grocery store or waiting at a stoplight. People are getting impatient. There's that feeling out there right now. People are waiting for the pandemic to end, the floodwaters to subside, for masks to come off, for justice to be served, or for wars and hatred to come to an end. People are waiting for all of these things. And while they wait, many people begin to lose their peace. And peace, unfortunately, gets replaced by fear, by anxiety, and even anger. You know, during our Thanksgiving visit recently to Halifax to see our family, we were headed out one day in the rental car I picked up at the airport, the four of us, our family, to visit Susan's sister and her family. And so we pulled up to the stoplight as we were about to go over the bridge, and suddenly in my rearview mirror, it just filled up with this massive white pickup truck that was pressed almost right up to the bumper of our car. And I could see in the rearview mirror the driver who was just losing his mind. He was so angry. He did not want to wait. He did not want to be sitting behind us. He needed to get by for some reason. And he was screaming. You could see his face turning beet red. And he was pounding on the steering wheel, pounding on the windshield. I mean, he was just absolutely losing it. And so finally, when the light turned green, man, he came right up behind me. He went over the curb. He went back down behind me and around and tried to squeeze in between the car that was in ahead of me and just almost causing an incredible accident. And so he was driving this truck like he stole it. And maybe he was. We still don't know to this day. But this Grand Theft Auto rage was on display, and it almost ended in tragedy as he raced across the bridge, zigzagging in and out of traffic. It looked like he was chasing another sports car that was up ahead of him. You know, these uncertain times have brought with it an unrest that's in people. And people today are in need of peace like never before. And, you know, I think one of my favorite songs at this time of the year is still the song Silent Night. We sing it on Christmas Eve. But for many people, their nights are anything but silent, as peace seems to keep slipping through their fingers. Silent Night, for many, is a fantasy. It's just a Christmas carol that they hear on the radio. But the truth is, it can be a reality. So where is the disconnect with actually experiencing that peace and thinking that it's just make-believe? Luke chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. Let's go back and look at the account of the angels here. It says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. Now, most people think that what comes next are the words, and peace on earth, goodwill to men, right? If you watch anything at Christmas, you've heard Charlie Brown say those words. But that's not exactly what the scripture says. It actually says, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. So it doesn't say peace on earth, because there's actually no such thing as peace on earth. In fact, the only verse in the Bible where it says the phrase peace on earth is used in the book of Matthew, when Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on earth. And people will stop, full stop right there and go, what? What did you just say? He didn't come to bring peace on earth. Because you know what? The goal of Jesus was that on earth there wouldn't be perfect peace, but that while we were on earth in the midst of unrest, that you and I would have peace in knowing him, who the scripture says, those whom his favor rests. So how do we receive that favor in the midst of chaos? I think it's clear that as we read scripture, we need to experience that very real and tangible relationship with the Prince of Peace himself. You see, peace is a gift that Jesus gave everything so that he could pay for that for you. And my prayer for all of you during this Christmas season is that you would experience more peace in your life, in your marriage, in your family, than you've ever experienced before. John 14, 27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. You see, the peace the world gives is a counterfeit. It's a substitute. It's a fake. It's an artificial peace that will always crumble under the weight of circumstance. So this peace that Jesus says I'm giving you is not that. It's strong. It's durable. It's something that you can always count on. And interestingly, Isaiah's prophecy of the one who would bring this peace was given 700 years before Jesus would even appear on the scene. 700 years before that first Christmas experience that would change everything, that would change you and I. And Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace. Now in Hebrew, it's actually two words, Sar Shalom. Sar is where we get the English word for prince. And although it's not the best translation, it actually means the one in charge. That describes it to a T. So not like Prince Charming or the artist formerly known as. It's more than royalty. Sar means lord. It means chief and general. It's where we would eventually get the word that the Romans first used for czar, or the word that would eventually turn into Caesar, right? It means the ruler, the one in charge, the Lord. But why Prince of Peace? Why not King of Peace? Well, a prince actually acts under the authority of his father, the king, right? And so while Jesus is fully God, equal with the Father, he brings peace as an emissary, as a messenger from his father. So his role as Prince of Peace is directly tied to his role as Savior, accomplishing the mission that he was sent for. Now, the word shalom is one that we're a little bit more familiar with as a greeting that many people hear, a Jewish greeting. But it literally means rest or tranquility, means wholeness, completeness, or contentment. So when you put them together, it means he is the captain or the lord of rest or the lord of tranquility. He's the general or the one in charge of contentment. I love those descriptives there. He's the lord of tranquility, the general of contentment, the prince of peace. I don't want you to miss that. Jesus is our peace. He's the captain of it. It's not something he has. It's something that he is. Jesus is peace, and peace is Jesus. So when I'm giving you a message today about peace, I'm really giving you a message about Jesus himself. Because if you know him, you automatically experience that peace. Although sometimes we stray from it because we stray from him. But when we press in, when we come close to our Savior, we experience the reality of who he is in our lives. And that is peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. You know what? Countries have tried to make it happen. Treaties, politicians, presidents, they've all tried. But it can't be found outside of him. It's impossible for you to have peace without personally knowing Jesus. You can't have it because he is it. And so to experience true peace is to know the Prince of Peace. Peace is not simply the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of someone. It's the presence of the Prince of Peace in your life. And so my goal today is that you would know the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Tranquility, the General of Contentment. And that while the storm rages around you, you're going to be okay. You know why? Because the peace of God is with you. So let me give you a few key truths to lead you to living this Christmas experience every day that you live, not just on the 25th, but every day. And again, if you put them to work in your life, you'll never find yourself chasing after peace again, because if you found him, then you found peace. The first thing that we need to do is we need to get under the lordship of Jesus. The principle of lordship is more than just calling him Lord. You see, lordship really means that you're under a canopy or you're under a covering. So as we follow him, how do we do that? How do we stay under that covering? Well, the truth is he must be Lord of all in our lives, meaning we can't lord over some areas here and he lords over some things over here. He needs to be Lord over all. As a matter of fact, some people call him Lord today, but then they live their lives according to their own direction, their own choices. They lord over their own affairs. And that's not what the scripture teaches. Acts 10:36 says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, of everything." So, can I do anything I want and still have peace? No. Can I say anything I want to my kids, my wife? Can I be mean? Can I yell at them and still have peace? No. Why? Because you've stepped out from under the covering of his righteousness, because it's his righteousness, not our own. So when God looks down, he sees Jesus and what he paid for you. So can I cut corners or lie in my business and still have peace? No, because you've stepped out from the canopy of his lordship. So what we need to do is we need to submit our marriage, we need to submit our finances, submit our business, submit our actions, our will, and our way, submit it all to the lordship of Jesus. And then, and only then, will we truly experience his peace. Second thing we need to do is to bring Jesus into every situation. If you don't have Jesus or peace in your finances, bring Jesus into your finances. Bring him into your marriage. Bring him into your relationships. If you don't have peace in your family or your business, bring Jesus into all those areas of your life. I think sometimes we tend to compartmentalize how we live. I put my Jesus face on, I wear my Jesus clothes, and say my Jesus words when I hang out with my people at church or go to a small group. But then I live the rest of my life as if it has no bearing on how I live. You see, that's not what he wants. It's not what he wants at all. And my goal, leading a church like ours, is to raise up and equip a generation of Christ followers who are the same on Sunday as they are the rest of the week. We need those things to align what we believe and how we live. Peace should enter the room wherever you go because the Prince of Peace abides within you. You know, years ago, when we, Susan and I and our boys, pioneered a church in Toronto, I also operated my own small business, a graphic design studio, and doing advertising in the area. And so I got a contract with a larger company that would last about 2 or 3 months, and it would take me into their offices once a week. And so once a week, I would go through the door, the secretary would be there, I'd say hello, we'd kind of have small chat and talk a little bit and catch up, and then I'd head to the boardroom and meet with their team, and we'd start working or continue working on the project. And so around this time of year, I would say, as we headed towards Christmas, I came in nearing the end of that contract, nearing the end of that 3 month time. And the secretary said to me, she said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And I said, "Sure." She said, "You know, it's very strange. I've never experienced anything like this before, but it seems like every time you come through that door, once a week, it's like peace comes into the room with you." And I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's very nice of you to say." Now, I'd like to think it had everything to do with my sparkling personality, but I know that had everything to do with the Prince of Peace, the one who abides within me. And that is true for all of us. What we believe and how we live, again, should line up. And wherever you go, into the neighborhood, to the movie theater, to a concert, to a party, on vacation, the Prince of Peace should come with you wherever you go. When you visit those that are sick, when you spend time with those who are grieving, peace comes into the room with you because the Prince of Peace can abide within you. And if he does it, he can. So knowing him is knowing that peace. And God wants you to walk in that on a daily basis. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace." Just on Sundays? No, absolutely not. The Bible says, at all times and in every way. How? The Lord needs to be with all of you. You see, you'll never experience Christmas as he's purposed for you outside of his lordship, outside of that covering. And then finally, number three, you need to keep your mind on Jesus. Think about him, talk about him, love on him, worship him, sing about him. And if you do, you'll experience that peace on a daily basis. When your mind is on Jesus, you become in your life a peacekeeper. Now, last week I talked to you about a story back in 1976 when my dad was in law enforcement. He's a career police officer, retired as chief in Halifax, Dartmouth. And so before he was chief, he was chosen to greet the Queen on her royal visit as she and Prince Philip came over on the Britannia. And he would open her door in the grand parade when everybody was gathered. And every detail was planned. Everything was done with great precision. Now, interestingly enough, at that time, I didn't know my wife, Susan, didn't know their family. But while my dad was greeting the Queen and opening her door, Susan's father was the news director at a radio station called CHNS. And here's a picture of him back in the day at CHNS. And so he was tasked with covering the Queen's visit. So he went down to the waterfront where the Britannia would come in, and it was delayed for 2 hours because the fog that day was just so soupy thick that they couldn't proceed. Now, he had to then leave, and he was going to make his way back to make sure that he was there on time for that moment that I showed you last week when my dad was opening the door. But as he made his way back, he got stuck in traffic, and what he didn't realize is that there was a bomb scare. Now, this is kind of like the tale of two fathers here. Last week, we talked about my dad. This week, we're talking about Susan's. But as Susan's father was on his way back so that he could get ready for being there when she arrived, he was pulled over suddenly by the police. He didn't know what happened. He was asked to get out of the car, stand in front of your car, don't move, put your hands by your side. And I guess they thought he had that shifty look. Maybe he looked like the Unabomber and that he was involved in something. They thought he looked suspicious, I guess, because he was a reporter. He had a camera. He was there doing what he was supposed to do. But as he stood in front of the car and the police kind of held him, suddenly the royal motorcade was coming down the street. You see, they had rerouted the motorcade to the secondary parade route in light of the security threat. And so there's Susan's father standing in front of his car, hands by his side, not allowed to move. And here's a picture of the Queen and Prince Philip as they go by. This is an actual shot from that day. And as they drove by, the prince pointed to Susan's father, and the Queen, who's always doing her job, even in the midst of potential trouble or chaos, does the Queen, the royal wave to Susan's dad. You know, hello, Bomber Man. Like, she could have thought he was the guy that they had apprehended. And so, interestingly enough, and I love this, while one father was greeting the Queen and keeping the peace, the other father was being accused of disturbing it. So how will you live your life? Will you be a peacekeeper or a peace disturber? Because you need to ask yourself that in every situation, especially in the changing times that we're in. As new guidelines and shifting requirements happen, people are feeling that unrest. They're feeling angry and frustrated. But ask yourself in every situation, whether you're in the church, in the neighborhood, or in your grocery store, are you being a peacekeeper? Are you led by the Prince of Peace or a peace disturber? Now, here's the last verse, and this is my prayer for all of you. Romans 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That's being a peacekeeper. As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray, Calvary. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the many descriptive titles that you were given and what they represent in our lives. And today, in a time when there is great unrest, when there is anxiety, fear, and even anger. We are thankful that you, the Prince of Peace, abide deep within us. And we are thankful that peace is something that we can experience on a daily basis. When we pull close to you, help us to choose in our lives to be a peacekeeper and not one who disturbs that peace. I pray for every person watching today that whatever they're experiencing, that you would meet them there in that place, that you would be very real to them. And for those that do not know you, that they would experience what true peace is all about. And maybe some of you haven't felt that for a very long time. If that's you today, wherever you're watching this broadcast or listening to this podcast, I pray that if you want that peace, you can have it. You can have it by simply praying this prayer with me and recognizing that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the General of Contentment, the Lord of Tranquility, that he came into this world to fill you and to give you that peace. But you need to say yes. So if you're ready to do that today, pray these simple words with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize my need for you. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Fill me with peace. And may I be a peacekeeper in the day you've called me to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If that's you today and you prayed that prayer, would you tell somebody? Tell somebody in the chat as you watch the broadcast. Let them know. We'd love to get you some helpful resources to help you grow in your faith. And if you've been walking with Christ for many years, and maybe you're a member of our church, I pray that as you go into this holiday season and the busyness, that you wouldn't be pulled into the frustration, the anxiety, even the anger, but that the Prince of Peace would fill you and that you would reflect more of him and less of our weaker moments as we begin to make that impact on the world by sharing the good news wherever we go. Calvary, I love you guys. God's best. Have an amazing week. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday.